This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
Welcome back to Saturday Magazine with Sonia and Macca. And that was Dragonfly Pie by The Jicks, Stephen Malkmus and The Jicks.
It certainly was. Now, it is my great pleasure to introduce to you Tex McKenzie from the Pink Palace, Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre. Tex, this is the first time I've actually interviewed you.
And Macca, it's wonderful to be here in the chair, ready to be grilled by you.
Oh, darl. You can feel the cold steel as it approaches.
And so, yes, it's lovely to be here on Joy 94.9, especially on the eve of the momentous start of the Midsummer Festival.
It is. Now, you know, we've been associated with Midsummer for decades, haven't we?
Oh, indeed. We, you meaning you and I?
The royal we, all of us.
All of us,
all
yes.
of us. All of us. This would be... What year of Midsummer is this?
I don't know. The 20th?
Yeah, it'd have to be something like that, wouldn't it?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. Most importantly, though, the Melbourne Gay Periodic Survey, 2010.
Mm-hmm.
2010. Now, how many years has this survey been going on?
It started in 1998 here in Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
The actual surveys, which are conducted all around Australia, started in 96. So it's been going for quite a while now.
And it is. So there's actually a very big body of research that backs this up now, isn't there? You've got the history of what's gone before.
Mm-hmm.
But for those of our listeners who perhaps don't know what it's about, tell them what it's about, Darl.
Darl. That's my favourite word. The Melbourne Gay Community Periodic Survey, as we said, has been conducted for quite a few years now. And it's a survey that takes a snapshot of gay men's lives or the lives of same-sex attracted men here in Melbourne or people who've participated, men who have sex with men who participate in the Melbourne gay community. Yes, Macca?
No, because there are, you know, it's how people identify, isn't it? That's what's important. So I suppose the common thread that runs through this is men having sex with men.
That's right. And look, people use all sorts of terms. And when they fill in the survey, they have the opportunity to tick various boxes, including queer, gay, men who have sex with men, bisexual men, all different sorts of titles.
That's right. I mean, there's all sorts of different names that people have. But the important thing is that they do the survey, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It is really important, and the survey is conducted every Midsummer Carnival, and then in the week after Midsummer, where we go into a lot of the clinics, three of the clinics which have a large caseload of same-sex attracted men, and into the venues as well, that's sex on premises venues and social venues, bars and clubs.
Now, I remember helping out with this survey a few years ago,
mm-hmm.
and sitting on a stool at Porter Street,
right,
and asking people as they came in if they had time to complete a survey,
mm-hmm.
and they did, which was really good. I mean, the important thing about this is that it only takes about 5 minutes, doesn't it?
That's right. Look, between 5 and 10 minutes, it depends how long people choose to take to fill a survey in. But yeah, look, it's a really quick survey. And it's, as I said, it looks at a snapshot of what's been happening in gay men's sexual practices or the sexual practices of men who have sex with men, looking into the transmission of sexually transmitted infections, including HIV.
Now, you've got to have had sex with another man, if you're a man.
Yeah.
Within the last 5 years to do it, don't you?
That's right.
So if you haven't, you can't.
Anybody can fill the form in. Any man can fill the form in. But then it goes through a series of questions. And one of those questions is, have you had sex with a man in the last 5 years?
Yeah.
And if so, what did you do? So it's looking at whether men are using condoms every time or most of the time, or what other practices people are engaging to avoid contracting sexually transmitted infections, including HIV.
And what about confidentiality? Is there a private place people can fill this out, or if people want to be, you know, obviously discreet?
Well, look, people are given a clipboard. Mm-hmm. They're given a clipboard and a pencil, and it's the survey form is on the clipboard. Now, that means they can move to whatever they deem to be a private space.
Mm.
The survey is completely anonymous and confidential. Confidential in as much as they choose the space that they fill this survey in,
okay.
But anonymous because there are no details asked of people's names. I think the basics that we ask are a person's age and their postcode. Just so that we find out, you know, what the spread of people are.
Mm. Excellent.
Now, what sort of information and I suppose, have there been any revelations or anything surprising that's come out of the surveys in previous years, Tex? I mean, you've been associated with it for a long time. Do you ever get surprised by some of the results?
Look, as it happens, Macca, this is the first year that I've coordinated the survey. There's always a coordinator. It's actually the first time I've been involved in the survey other than filling the survey in. But, of course, the information which comes back from the survey then informs the work of organisations like the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre, which is my employer, also organisations like People Living with HIV/AIDS. The survey here is funded by the Victorian Department of Human Services, the Health Department. So it informs the work which is done locally, so here in Melbourne, here in Victoria, but also nationally, because the survey is done in every capital city except Hobart and Darwin. They're the only two cities that don't have the survey conducted, and that's because of the choice of their health departments.
Okay. Collaboration between the different states on this, so that there is pretty much a national picture, isn't there?
Indeed. And look, it's the survey's put together by the National Centre in HIV Social Research and the National Centre in HIV Epidemiology and Clinical Research. So they're the organisations which happen to be based in Sydney at the University of New South Wales, like the different research institutions that are based here in Victoria, the Australian Research Centre in Sex, Health and Society and the Burnett Institute. So all of these organisations which are constantly doing surveys and constantly doing questionnaires, all of this information comes into one huge melting pot and then informs how sort of the different sorts of reactions, the different sorts of education campaigns, for want of a better word, that are done throughout Australia. So it can look directly at what needs to be done, what issues need to be targeted here in Victoria and equally around Australia. So it informs national campaigns and local campaigns, as in local, state or territory-based campaigns.
What a fantastic concept.
It is a good concept.
Now, we've got a message here from Wombat.
Yep.
He says, men who have recently become HIV positive are invited to suggest promotional messages for AIDS prevention campaigns. Or he's saying, could they? For instance, could the Melbourne Sexual Health Clinic be an agency to collect ideas? Now, it's an interesting point, is that we've seen in HIV transmission and that there are a whole range of different ways. I mean, there's obviously a fairly common method of transmission, but that sometimes people are aware, sometimes they're not aware, there might be drugs involved, there might not. So, I mean, each of these people has a story to tell. Have you looked about or thought about the possibility that people who have recently contracted HIV, that they might have a particular message that they could give, you know, that might be relevant to, you know, to their, not just their peer group, but to others, you know, in a similar situation? Is that something you've looked at?
Look, it's one of the... It's one of the avenues or one of the areas of information which is sought by organisations around the country. For example, People Living with HIV/AIDS Victoria are really interested in hearing from people living with HIV here in Victoria so that they can support those people, share their stories, and they have a number of mechanisms that they can get that information out and about. Equally, the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre, we have a wonderful... a project called Staying Negative, which is a website, stayingnegative.net.au, where HIV negative and HIV positive men talk about their strategies in staying HIV negative. Now, for the HIV negative men, it's talking about why they are still HIV negative. And for all of these men, it's not just the simple message that we've been drumming out for the last 25 years, condom and lube every time, because for some people, condom and lube every time isn't the strategy that they choose to employ to remain HIV negative. But for men who are, or people living with HIV, it's an important way that they can tell their story. I have yet to meet a person living with HIV who has said, I love living with HIV and I want to share this love with everybody. I want to get everybody HIV positive because it's such an easy life. It's the exact opposite. Most people living with HIV are saying, we want to support you. We want to support research to maintain people who are not living with HIV to continue being HIV negative.
I guess if there's more research and the preventative aspects.
Sure.
You know, because I know of someone who contracted it and was actually practicing what they believed was very safe, very safe sexual activity. So they Indeed. Were quite stunned when it happened to them, when it occurred. And is there any research in specifically trying to find out what is it, the trigger points? Is it a person's own individual immunity system that can somehow be affected more likely?
I suppose some people perceive that it's a bit of a raffle, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is that if you have unsafe sex, then ultimately, or not ultimately, you're leaving, you know, the chance of contracting HIV or any sexually transmitted disease is much, much greater. But I'm interested, we're just going to play a couple of community service announcements. I'd like you to think, Tex, about some of the more challenging questions, because I know when I, was handing out this survey to people, some people were a bit confronted by some of the questions. So perhaps we might slightly censor the language on them because we get into trouble with the Broadcasting Authority. But think about a couple of the questions that people are going to be asked in the survey. So let's just have these announcements, and we'll be back with Tex McKenzie from the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre.
You are.
Yes, back.
On Saturday Magazine with Macca and Sonia and the incredibly famous and gorgeously hearted chef, Tex McKenzie.
Chef.
Oh, you're known for your cooking prowess in the past. Now, Tex from the Victorian AIDS Council and the Gay Men's Health Centre, he is coordinating the Gay Community Periodic Survey, and we're talking about a couple of the questions. And I do recall from the past that sometimes when people are filling this in, they go, oh, it's a bit, you know.
It's interesting, Macca. Some people are a little confronted by the language, but the language which is used in the survey is the language which we find that most same-sex attracted men use when they talk about having sex.
Yeah.
Now, there's a couple of words that we can't... Well, there's one particular word which we can't use here on air, which starts with F, which talks about having sex.
Food.
Sexual intercourse. It is a four-letter word, yes, but it's not food.
And it's only got one vowel in it.
And there are occasionally people who say, oh, you know, this. I'm not so happy about the language which is used in this, but it's looking at the broad scope of men who have sex with men and the language which men use. It would be, we could ask the question and say, the last time you had sexual intercourse, or we could ask the question, the last time you unched.
Yep.
The language is used, which is the language of the street, or if you like, or the language that people use when they are engaging in sex.
And I think, you know, for people to understand that, you know, if you're offended by it, we apologise.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is, we, you know, the community and the AIDS Council and PLWHA and the research bodies, they need the answers, okay? So, you know, if the language offends you, just think, well, okay, you don't have to read it out, you think it. And quite possibly, you're thinking, you don't think, oh, I'm going to have sexual intercourse with someone, I'm going to, someone. That's what you think in your mind.
Yep.
So, you know, there are questions, for example, around anal sex.
Yep.
And there's one, two, three, six questions there, and they all have the F word in them, but it asks you, did you use a condom? Was it without a condom? Or sometimes I use a condom or some, you know. So it's really important that people fill this in, isn't it? Because this is what informs you in your work in terms of education and prevention. But also it informs the different health departments around Australia and gives them a snapshot.
Indeed. And that's as I, yeah, and we keep on using that term snapshot because all it is, of course, is a snapshot. Over the course of the next week, we're going to get the views of about 2,000 men who have sex with men. Studies tell us that about 3,000 people will be, 3,000 men will be approached, and 2,000 of those men will fill the survey in.
Oh, okay. So,
there are a number of people who say no, just not interested, or if you like, I'm surveyed out, because we are a very surveyed community.
Definitely.
And at the carnival tomorrow, we're not going to be the only organisation asking questions. There will be a number of different organisations asking questions.
So you're going to be are people going to be roaming around, you know, with badges on? And
we will have recruiters, and there will be about 27 recruiters who will be working over the course of the day. They will be in close proximity of where our stand is, and we're in C block of tents. And
C block.
We're number C10.
Where was that in Prisoner, C block?
I'm not sure where C block was.
Oh, come on, Tex, you must remember.
No, I'm not that old, Macca.
No, he's not that old.
Thank you. 52 years young. So, yes, we'll be in C block. We'll be near the Southeast Centre Against Sexual Assault, and we'll be near the Rainbow Warehouse. So they're two of the other organisations I know.
A couple of good reasons for people to drop in.
So our recruiters will be there with clipboards, bundles of clipboards, and they will be roaming in the near vicinity of our stand or our tent. And that's so that we don't cross over with other organisations who are also doing surveys as well. We'll be roaming slightly away, and when people fill the survey in, they get when they bring the survey back, they get the option of the first about the first 500 people will have the opportunity to get an instant free prize. There's also a free raffle draw with a number of prizes donated by very generous organizations in our community.
I'll give us a clue.
Of some of those? Yeah. Oh, well, the first prize is from Eagle Leather. It's a $100 pack of goodies from Eagle Leather.
Oh, fantastic.
Mm. Second prize is a triple chock pass from the Melbourne Queer Film Festival.
God. Oh, got to get that. The chock pass is good.
And the third and fourth prizes are $25 vouchers from the Beat Bookshop.
Oh, God.
But then we have a whole host of...
I want to do the survey.
Can
I do
one at a time?
You can do the survey, Macca. You can come over tomorrow and do the survey.
Now, I've got a question for you. We've got one from a listener, but I've got a question for you. Pep.
Mm-hmm.
When must Pep be commenced, and with what, and within what period of time after the risk event? So, if you've been involved in an unsafe sex episode, I love that, an episode, and you're going to have PEP, post-exposure prophylaxis, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. The question is, Tex, when must be commenced, and within what period of time after the risk event? 12 hours? 24 hours? 72 hours, 1 week, 2 weeks, or don't know. 2 weeks. Okay.
Post-exposure prophylaxis, a much easier way of thinking about it is if you think you've been exposed to HIV through unprotected sex or using shared injecting equipment, you need to commence PEP within 72 hours.
72, okay.
And PEP is basically a treatment of anti-HIV medication that you take for 28 days, so it's not a morning after pill. It's
a
medication that you take for 28 days. And when people have taken this, it may, when we do stress the word, it may prevent you from becoming HIV positive. We have really good stats that show that it's when people have been tested, and people get tested before they start taking the treatment, halfway through that 28 days, at the end of the 28 days, and then 12 weeks later. And the first test is just to ensure that they weren't HIV positive and didn't know about it beforehand. Mm-hmm. And then the other tests are to ensure that the treatment has worked.
Mm.
And that, of course, it's important that people who take PEP do continue then to engage in safe sex.
Yeah, don't think, oh, well, I'm on this now. So
it's within 72 hours.
Okay.
And it's available from the emergency department in most major hospitals and a series of clinics like Melbourne Sexual Health Centre and the Southeast Centre Against Sexual Assault.
Cool.
And, yes, we had a message from a listener who just wants... thought it was an interesting point about mentioning the immune system being part of the decision as to whether or not they used protection when having sex.
And I suppose, Tex, like that's, you know, a lot of people have a whole different range of reasons and thoughts as to whether they're going to have or practice safe sex or not.
Indeed, yep.
In terms of the survey, have you seen a trend? Is the practice of unsafe sex, in terms of the people surveyed, has the incidence of unsafe sex increased, or is it remaining constant? And is there a particular circumstance, perhaps, where unsafe sex is taking place?
Oh, well, look, sure, if people's ability to make a decision is compromised, if they've drunk lots of alcohol or taken recreational drugs...
Or if they've got their shirt off, usually.
Indeed. That may influence as to why someone is going to engage in a safe sexual practice. Also, it's the ability of having condoms and lube at hand. Really important point in sex on premises venues in Melbourne. Venues sign an agreement which says that wherever sex is likely to happen, condoms and lube will be within reach. Hopefully, when people go home to a bedroom, condoms and lube are going to be within reach.
And that's the operative phrase, isn't it?
Indeed.
In the guidelines, in the agreement with the venues, within reach.
Yes, that's right.
Mm.
Which means that condoms and lube should be everywhere.
Yeah.
And the venues are really good. They have workers who go throughout the venue on a regular occurrence and they top up the condom and lube.
Now, you need to drop some off here, you know. We used to have condoms and lube here.
We don't have any at the moment?
I don't think there are, unless someone's used them.
We will arrange to get some more here next week.
Unless someone's used them all, I want to know what's going on. What's going on at Joy? There's all the condoms and lube are disappearing.
I just want to very quickly mention, of course, that yes, we will be at Carnival tomorrow, Midsummer Carnival, but also we will be at a number of clinics through the next week, right up till next Sunday. In the Centre Clinic, which is in St Kilda, the Paran Market Clinic and the Northside Clinic, at a number of venues will be there every night of this week, which is Subway Sauna, Wet on Wellington and Club 80. And then next weekend, Friday and Saturday, at the Peel Hotel, Circuit, at the Laird Hotel and, of course, at the very popular Exchange Hotel.
Exchange. All venues that very, very strongly support this program.
Indeed, they do.
So it's good.
And most of these venues also have condoms available on the bar in little toolboxes.
Yes.
So if you need that equipment to take away with you, then the equipment is there at hand for you to take next time you're at the bar.
Magnificent. Now, you'll see Tex tomorrow at Midsummer Carnival.
And I'll be wearing a very fetching leather cowboy hat.
Oh, darling. Oh, darling. You can't miss him. Just look for the person that everyone is congregating around. That'll be Tex.
And look for the men and women who will be there with heaps of clipboards the surveys.
They got a badge?
They will have name badges on with their name.
Yep.
And as soon as you've done a survey or taken a survey, we give you a red dot so we don't bother you again.
Good idea. That's good great. Idea. Mm. Now, we're going to leave it there, but there's one thing that's really important about safe sex. Very easy to remember, and that is if it's not on, it's not in.
That's right.
Yep.
So, condom and lube.
That's it. Slip, slap,
excellent.
And slop.
That's right.
Snap.
Snap.
Sonia and Macca, it's been really good being here on Saturday
Thanks,
Magazine.
Tex.
I listen every week. Lovely. You know I love Joy.
Mm. And what would be really interesting is when you've got some results in from this.
Sure.
It needs to go to the research institutes, but come back and give us a little snapshot of what you discovered.
Sure,
server.
That would be really interesting.
That would be really useful. And we'll compare it with previous years. I think people would be interested in that.
Okay, and I'll just do one quick plug for Well, Well, Well. Every Thursday night here on Joy between 8 and 9 p.m, HIV and health info for same-sex attracted men and all people living with HIV.
Excellent. Absolutely. And it is good listening. I've listened to it.
Well, thanks, Matt.
It's a good thing. Now, very shortly, we're going to be speaking with Bruce Milne, licensee publican of the Tote Hotel.
Who I went to school with.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Oh, well, you can stay. He's going to talk to us about the Liquor Licensing Commission and why they are causing him to close down. So this is Macca.
And Sonia.
And Tex.
On Saturday Magazine. I nearly said
you
the
almost
other.
Said the other place.
I know. On Joy 94.9.
Welcome back to Saturday Magazine with Macca and Sonia. And on the line we have the Totes' Bruce Milne. Hello, Bruce.
Hey, Sonia. How are you?
I'm good. How are you going now?
I've went through the sadness and over the last year, and especially the last few months. This week is now a celebration for me, but it's not quite that for everyone else. But it's incredible when you share a problem. And I've had to keep my mouth shut for so long, and just to have everyone sort of sharing it with me, and it makes me feel a lot better.
Now it's Macca here, Bruce. I'm devastated by this. I mean, I've only been to the Tote a couple of times, but I don't think anyone that drives through the area would not have seen it and noticed it, and the impact that it's had in terms of, you know, providing a live venue music in Melbourne for every community.
Yeah.
You know, not just gay and lesbian, but every community has been huge.
Yes, we haven't had many opera nights here or anything like that. There's certainly a lot of different genres being covered. I mean, when you've got three bands a night, you know, six or seven nights a week, and certainly for the 9 years I've had it, but for the 20, 30 years I've been coming here, and you do the maths on that, plus add your, some DJs and some bands upstairs and bands in the front bar playing. It's an incredible number of musicians that have played here over the years.
So just for some of our listeners who perhaps aren't familiar with the issue, you're closing the venue. That's correct?
Yep.
And what has brought that about?
It's a convergence of two things. The building ownership has been changing in the last few years, so I've been unable to secure a long-term lease. I've been basically going month by month now. But at the same time, liquor licensing has been put us in a high-risk category, and a high-risk category means we're the same as a King Street nightclub or...
A beer barn.
Yes. And once you're put in that category, then they do their research and data that shows that people, these are the places where all the violence occurs, and you can't say, but that's not us. We're not in that. We're not part of that category. So, please remove us. It's you're lumped in there, and then you're treated accordingly. And then they've been changing the conditions on our license, putting a lot more pressure on us to the point where we can't trade and make a profit.
So the Liquor Licensing Commission have they listened to what the issues that you've had, or have they, as they often do, simply said, oh, look, we've got research here and it says that this is the situation?
That's exactly what they've done. I've always assumed, well, certainly for the first part of last year, that common sense, if I just said, look, talk to the Collingwood police, they laugh about the Tote because they don't have to worry about us. They've never had to worry about us. I can show you my own research and data that says I'm not a high-risk venue, but it's just been a blanket sort of stop arguing with us and pay up immediately and then even making it harder for us saying, and you've got to have two security staff on when you've got a band playing for, semi-acoustic band playing for free in the front bar on a Saturday afternoon, and just crazy things where you're going, look, if we have to abide by these conditions, we will only open on a Friday and Saturday night. You know, a lot of staff will lose their jobs. It won't be the Tote. It won't be a sort of a community drop-in centre almost. It'll just be a venue where people come half an hour before the doors open, band plays, and then you're pushed out the door and you go home.
Especially that it has to close, at 3 a.m. It's before 3 a.m., 1 a.m.
Yeah.
That's just, that's your peak, your peak income period, basically.
Well, that was a horrible decision. I even had to fight for the right to lose my busiest hours. I had to take them to VCAT so that I could do that, because I thought I could possibly scrape by even losing the most important hours of trade. And I knew I couldn't scrape by on having to have all these extra security staff. And I say minimum of two security staff, because it's two security staff for the first 100, but then it goes up and up after that.
I mean, look, I think, if I might ask, has your local member, which I think is Dick Wynn, has he been involved in this? Have you asked for his help? Or
No, I've basically done everything for the whole year on legal advice. In the middle of the year... I was trying to contact Consumer Affairs and the Ombudsman and people just to say, look, something's wrong here, you've got to help me. But again, I got, you know, look, sorry, it doesn't sound very good, but we can't help you.
So where to from now? I mean, okay, people are losing their jobs. You know, we're losing, you know, in a very, very vibrant inner suburb, a fantastic live music venue and gathering point. Where to now?
Well, for the Tote, there is no future. We hit that point. I've been losing money for the last, you know, certainly since the middle of the year. Not only not making enough to cover, but paying legal fees on top of it. And you get to a point where you go, I can't actually keep trading. Mm. However, what I'm doing is, you know, being a media slut in the hope that it'll put a line in the sand and the community will turn around and go, hang on, we thought the liquor licensing changes were about stopping people smashing chairs over each other's heads and glassing each other in the faces. But in fact, it's about seems to be about closing down small, you know, small businesses run by individuals that, you know, I would like to think contribute something to the community.
Oh, definitely. A lot of bands started off there. I've got friends like Bat Rider who did gigs there. Yep. and you know, that's just, it's just shocking. It's just like something gets taken away from under your feet.
Yeah.
And I'm a previous Collingwood resident, so, you know, I know how important that venue's been. I don't know whether you heard yesterday, Bruce, on 774 Queenie.
Oh, like yesterday, when I got to work, someone sent me the link. We actually painted Queenie, We Love You, on the side of the building.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so I'm not even going to try and do her voice, but, yeah, I listened to Hoodoo Gurus there.
Yeah. So an old lady, someone who'd born, bred Collingwood. We've always had great residents. That's the other thing, is that I could be wrong, but I don't think there's ever been a noise complaint made to the Collingwood police about us, which is nuts in some ways, but largely it's because of the local residents. They'll pick up the phone and ring us and go, hey, there's someone in the beer garden that's a bit loud, and we deal with it, and that's how it should be.
Hmm. So what do you think's the plan for the building, the owner of the building? What do you think?
I don't know, and I should be careful about, you know, second-guessing the owner's intentions. I don't see how someone, if liquor licensing conditions on the building are as they are at the moment, no one could run this as a music venue in anywhere near the sort of way it has been run. Maybe someone could I don't know, turn it into a dance club or something like that.
Perhaps we need some more apartments.
Yes, we need some apartments.
Tote apartments in Collingwood. Oh dear, we don't really need that.
So, with all the experience you've got, Bruce, and all the memories, you're probably going to have a bit of a rest. But do you have you know, would you like to do something else in the industry, perhaps?
Look, I would like to. I have to be realistic. I am broke and in debt. I have to get a job, and I have to pay back money to, you know, Carlton United and you know, things. I am really financially ruined at this point. But this weekend has really helped, because I thought I was going to go under, and you know, we've had a great couple of days trade, which is really helping to make sure I can go out of this without you know, my head leaking
my tail. Your head held high, and when I called you yesterday, you said you were running out of liquid refreshment. Was
yes,
that correct.
And the great thing is, every venue around town's gone, look, just come and grab whatever you need. Apart from anything
fantastic.
Else, you take all our trade for the weekend. So
everybody head
well.
To the Tote.
Yeah, and I have to thank the Marquis of Lawn and the Yaya's and Old Bar and the list goes on and on. Every pub in the area has just gone, whatever you need.
Well, it's family, you know. Yeah. It's like the Tote's the papa beer.
Yeah.
You know, of all those sort of live venues and bars
they're not like our, we're not like, you know, angry competitors. We're all in the same thing together. And we're,
yep.
And,
circuit,
and they're,
yeah.
I've got to be careful naming names, but any venue that, especially ones with a license after 1 o'clock, they're being driven to the wall. Everyone's got stories where you go, that's just such an insane story. But even at the moment when I'm saying, look, tell me your stories and I'll spread them, people are going, look, I don't want my head put up too high. I don't want to get kicked in the head like you did.
An advisory column on Facebook or something.
Yes.
Yeah. And so what sort of bands have we got for the next, two more nights, is it?
I have to go to the board.
Blow Waves are on tonight,
yep.
Is that correct?
Yep.
Which will make a happy midsummer crowd, I'm sure.
Yep. It's Good gig tonight. So I'm just running down the creaky old tote stairs to read from the board.
How cool.
So tonight we've got Shun K from
Shun
the
K,
USA,
yeah.
The Blow Waves, of course, Blush Foundation. Sunday, in the tradition of Tote having a diverse range of things, we've got a metal night with Harlot, Elm Street, Festation and Area.
Area.
And then Monday, we've got the, am I allowed to say fuck off?
No, you're not, but you
okay.
It was artistic.
We've got an incredible lineup of bands that have all volunteered to come down and play. We'll be open very, very early, and we'll announce it at some stage today. But we've got to make sure everyone can, you know, get their flights. And
oh, cool! So, how many bands are you looking at then on Monday?
Well, let's say it's a lot more than 10.
Okay,
10 plus. All right,
fantastic.
You'd probably double that fairly easily at this stage.
And so Monday is it?
Yep.
That's it.
Yep.
At 1 a.m.
Yep.
Would that be correct?
1 a.m.
It's all over.
We'll ask people to leave quietly to respect our residents, and we'll start dismantling the place on Tuesday.
Oh, dear. Okay.
All right. Well, look, we'll let you get back to it. But look, thank you so much for running a fantastic, violence-free, trouble-free venue for so long, Bruce, and providing such a great venue for musicians and the community, all the community of Collingwood and Fitzroy to be involved with. I take my hat off to you.
Well,
and
yeah. It's been a pleasure for 8 of the years. I've got to say, the last year it's not been a pleasure.
And keep your chin up. Hope you get a job, and hope you get enough money over the next few days from all the fans and everyone that's been there. Drop in and have a drink. You know, so that you can
head down there and get some support.
Come out of this not financially ruined.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Bruce.
Cheers for that, Bruce. Thank you. That was Bruce Milne.
A bit sad. Now, not normally, not everyone would think of it as a as a queer venue, but a lot of our community drink there and have been there and listened to music.
Well, a lot of queer bands have gone through there.
And a lot of queer bands have gone through.
Sometimes there are queer people playing drums in a straight band. It does happen.
Absolutely. And so it is a bit sad. And Liquor Licensing Commission and VCAT, you need to take a long, hard look at yourself. Because, you know, there's beer barns opening. VCAT allows them to open. The Liquor Licensing Commission says we're not giving them a permit. For God's sake, guys, get your hands above the table and, you know, work out how you can make this system work better. None of us want violence in the venues, but, you know, forcing somewhere like the Tote to close, you know. God,
I've never seen a fight there.
No, I mean, you know, get real, get real.
All I've seen is a lot of jovial good time and some loud, grungy.
That's right.
Sticky carpet and music. And we've got some messages now.
We have.
So
this is Saturday Magazine.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.